answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Mr. President, immediately funding the Department of Homeland Security is the only way to end the shutdown. We need to make sure they are funded. The Democrat shutdown is dangerous. It is disgraceful. But once again, Democrats are proving on this very floor that they care more about illegal immigrant criminals than they do the safety and security of the American people.
And that is a fact. That is Wyoming Senator John Barrasso. Saying they care more about illegals in our country than they do American citizens. Of course they will deny that. We know they will. But the evidence continues to pile up where they actually stand. And they cannot deny how bad they are helping illegals while hurting Americans. Oh, by the way, take note of this. Illinois Governor Pritzker, who just the other day walked around the lake at Chicago at 6:30 in the morning saying how peaceful it was out there and how safe it is. Of course, he had his security guard with him. The day after, a young student was chased down and shot by, according to police, an illegal who just wanted to shoot and kill her. Of course, she didn't have the detail security Governor Pritzker did. But Governor Pritzker is now acknowledged. He's acknowledged this. There have been, quote, real failures when it comes to immigration. Oh, hold it. Hold on. Don't jump off the cliff too quick here. Because somewhere in the midst of admitting there have been real failures, he's washing his hands of it. I have nothing to do with the real failures, but there have been real failures with immigration. Now, you know we're going to get into that in more detail. Thanks for joining us, hour number two. Larry Connors, USA, March 25, 2026. And as always with Larry Connors, USA, you are going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more knowledge than you have right this moment. That's a guarantee, each and every hour. And later in our program, Facebook found guilty of allowing kids to be victims of sexual predators. This is just one case out in New Mexico, but it may break the dam and all the flood of these other complaints will come forward. I'll have details of that coming up a little bit later. In the meantime, how are we doing with our air travel? Folks trying to get around different places, all these long lines and everything that we've seen jamming up the airports. Well, CNN has to admit, looking better.
Finally, we can take a deep breath here. The numbers have dropped off. The lines are getting shorter. I think the average wait time now is under 40 minutes. So if you have a flight to catch today, it's a good time to come to Hartsfield-Jackson International. Talking about those ICE agents, you can see a few behind me right there. And then I'm going to walk you this direction, and you can see some more of them gathered over here. This is what they've been doing for the most part today, is doing the patrols around the airport, talking and gathering, not really helping the public in the sense of they're not taking tickets from anybody. They're not interacting with the public we've seen so far. They're not checking anyone's ID.
And ask yourself this. How many times do you go to the airport and have any interaction with any guards or security at the airport other than going through the TSA lines? They're not there to hassle. But the Democrats want you to believe ICE agents going into our airports, they're going to be hassling and threatening people. And in fact, Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas said these Democrats who want to ban ICE from wearing masks at any point, they're wanting it so they can dox their families. That means give out their addresses, their true names, where their kids go to school, and terrorize their families. He said that's why TSA lines have been so long. And that's why ICE officers were wanting, rather the Democrats wanted to ban the ICE officers, even in the airports. President Trump, of course, were deploying them into at least a dozen different airports. And you hear that it's not really causing a big issue. Here's a passenger going out of Newark.
Oh, they're right there. All right, they're good. They're here to help. They're not bothering nobody. As long as they can check my bags and get me on my flight, I'm good to go. Right? I want to get to the Bahamas. I want out of here.
Yeah. I want to get out of Newark and New Jersey and get to the Bahamas. I'm with you, man. Let's go. The Democrats just rejected the Republicans' latest offer to reopen Homeland Security, despite giving them much of what they wanted. Senate Republicans crafted a framework to reopen the Department of Homeland Security after meeting with President Trump, and that would carve out ICE enforcement funding and include some reforms to immigration operations, the very things Democrats said, we've got to have. You must do this. Well, we did. And you know what? They still won't pass it. They continue to hold money back from TSA agents. It's again going to cause this line to get bigger again and more agents walk away from the job. And we're still not that far from some airports, smaller airports, being shut down. They're not going to have ICE agents to work the planes. And that is assuming the airplanes are even going to be flying to those airports. The airlines have to be worried about proper security as well. Chuck Schumer said, we're not satisfied with the latest offer. It's still being finalized. Negotiations are going on. They've given us an offer. We'll send an offer back. And I can assure you it will contain specific and significant reform. But they haven't. Senator Lankford of Oklahoma said, we finally just said, stop. We'll just fund everything but enforcement and removal operations. That's what you said you wanted. Let's do it. That's what we're doing. No extra language, no extra playing with it. We're just doing the baseline. We don't like it. They don't like it. It opens everything up, but everything gets funded again. And he accused Democrats of being more afraid of ICE than Republicans at that point. And yeah, the Democrats again are balking. And House Speaker Johnson pointing out the Democrats are the ones to be blamed for these long security lines where they do exist, and they might be looking better lately, but it could turn on a dime as more folks decide, okay, well, I will start flying again. Update out of Iran. Now, Iran the other day said, we're not talking to Trump. Trump is lying. We're not talking to him. Trump said they were. President Trump.
We're in negotiations right now. They're doing it along with Marco, JD. We have a number of people doing it. And the other side, I can tell you, they'd like to make a deal. Number one, two, and three is they can't have a nuclear weapon. And they're not going to have a nuclear weapon. And we're talking about that. And I don't want to say in advance, but they've agreed they will never have a nuclear weapon. They've agreed to that.
That's the president touting negotiations with Iran, saying that the regime has agreed to his key demand. It will not develop and have a nuclear weapon. The U.S. and Iran are preparing for another round of negotiations, with Turkey, Egypt, and Pakistan taking the lead on efforts to broker a peace deal. This morning, the Pentagon announcing new defense deals aimed at ramping up U.S. munitions production, striking agreements with BAE Systems, Lockheed Martin, and Honeywell to boost missile and interceptor output. Meanwhile, plans reportedly underway to deploy troops to the Middle East from the 82nd Airborne Division this Friday, with the Rapid Response Unit reportedly expected to arrive Friday along with the Marines. And of course, Friday is President Trump's deadline for Iran to reopen the Strait of Hormuz.
And of course, Iran has been saying, we're not talking. We're not going to have any talks. Well, obviously, they've been talking through intermediaries such as Turkey. That's talking. And now they're saying, according to Trump, they agree they will not have nuclear weapons. This is back to Ronald Reagan. Trust but verify. They've never allowed UN International Atomic Energy Commission members to go in at any time, look anywhere in the land to see what might be happening. And they're not going to until we get someone else in charge. And all these new troops going in, folks are saying, well, we're having talks and we're getting close to an end. Why are we sending more Marines, and why the 81st Airborne is going in? Well, it might be to take over Karg Island. That might be. Not Iran invasion total, but the island, and begin to shut that off from Iran. But what we've done already, Secretary of War Hegseth says, we have decimated Iran.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. You're spot on. Never in history has a modern military, Iran had a modern military, a modern navy, a modern air force, modern air defenses, leadership, massive bunker. Never has a modern military been so rapidly and historically obliterated, defeated from day one with overwhelming firepower. The air campaign that we've conducted, that Israel's conducted alongside us, was one for the history books, truly. And it's because we have a president of the United States that when he sends his warfighters out to fight, he unties their hands to actually go out and close with and destroy the enemy as viciously as possible from moment one. And that's why we see ourselves as part of this negotiation as well. We negotiate with bombs.
And they're getting, and the point has been delivered right to their doorstep. And all the Democrats that have been saying, we're not in any imminent danger. Flashback. When Secretary of State Blinken was in place, and Jen Psaki on behalf of Biden, and Christopher Wray for the FBI, when they were all acknowledging Iran is a threat.
Iran's nuclear program is galloping forward. It is enriching higher levels, 20%, even 60% in small cases. It's using more advanced centrifuges. We're now down, based on published reports, to a few months. If this continues, if they continue to enrich at the levels and in the ways that they're doing, it will get down eventually to a few weeks. So that is a concrete problem. We have an interest in putting that nuclear problem back in the box, because an Iran with a nuclear weapon or with the ability to produce fissile material on very short notice to get one is an Iran that's going to be an even worse actor.
Iran has rapidly accelerated its nuclear program and reduced cooperation with international inspectors. Their breakout period is down from about a year, which is what we knew it was during the deal, to just a few weeks or less.
Iran, the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism, has directly or by hiring criminals mounted assassination attempts against dissidents and high-ranking current and former U.S. officials, including right here on American soil.
The president will not tolerate attacks on American troops, and neither will I. Our teammates were killed by radical militias backed by Iran and operating inside Syria and Iraq.
Yes, it is true. Iran is closer to a nuclear weapon than ever before. If they chose to get a nuclear weapon, could probably get one within weeks.
Now, they did not get one within weeks, and yet the Democrats believe they could and would, but they really weren't taking direct action against it. And now that Trump has done it, they're saying there's no imminent danger. Now, well, Larry, if they say there's going to be weeks away, we're weeks, months past all of that, and they still haven't. Let me put it to you this way. If I were to tell you that in 6 months, and I'm just saying this, I don't have facts backing it up, I'm just posing a hypothetical, that Iran will have a nuclear-capable weapon within 6 months, do you want to allow them the extra 6 months to get it ready? Surely you don't. But now the left is willing to say, well, you shouldn't be sending all these troops and doing all this. And a new survey, an Associated Press survey, says a lot of Americans are already tired of the war. We're looking at, what, 40 days that we've been into this? Nah, take it back. I think it's a little less than that. Bottom line is, we still know Iran is a threat. Not just there, but throughout the world. And that includes their terrorist cells and activities being carried on in every country, including those who came into our nation under our open border policy. Thank you, Joe Biden. If you're in more threat right now, it's because of that. But when Trump was warning about that and continues to say we cannot allow this to happen, former CIA Director John Brennan makes one of the most stupid, idiotic, and absolutely, I would say, treasonous remarks I've heard.
Iran, like, They are an authoritarian regime who's known to lie. But, like, I'm confused. What is going on? Help me. Calm me down.
Well, I tend to believe Iran more than I do Donald Trump. Because he could not acknowledge the truth, even when it is, you know, he's slapped in the face with it repeatedly.
Yeah, that's John Brennan, former CIA director, saying he trusts Iran more than Trump. John Brennan, of course, was behind the Russian collusion story about Trump. Where do you want to put your faith? I'd mentioned earlier that Governor Pritzker in Illinois is absolutely admitting there have been, quote, real failures when it comes to immigration. This goes back to last week when a 25-year-old illegal was arrested and charged with shooting and killing a young college student at a pier in Chicago. This is an illegal from Venezuela, apprehended back in May 2023, then got released into the U.S. under the Biden administration. Thank you, Joe Biden. And Pritzker then walked around the lake yesterday and said, look, it's all so peaceful here. Yeah, but look at all your security guards around you. You know this young woman didn't have that. And now, Pritzker making these remarks. This was a terrible tragedy. I know her family has suffered. There have been real failures extending beyond the borders of Illinois. That's their national failures. A failure to have a comprehensive immigration reform. Failure of President Trump to follow his own edict to go after the worst of the worst. They have grabbed up a lot of the worst of the worst, but of course some of them are still out there. And then you had a Democrat congresswoman suggest the other day, well, this young girl was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. The illegal immigrant was in the wrong place to begin with. Oh, and there's something that Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough are supposedly admitting that, I don't know if I have a birth certificate. I don't know how I'm going to get it. Will I be able to vote? Are they that stupid? More importantly, do they think you're that stupid? We'll deal with that stupidity coming up. Plus, coming up later, Kevin O'Leary on the value of the Strait of Hormuz. And also the Facebook verdict out in New Mexico and what it means in protecting your children. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Previously, I've told you about dustless blasting, a special service offered by Wellington Environmental. It could work for you in your place. Recently, a crew removed a driveway sealer that had failed. The owner wanted to go back to the original concrete so it could be properly sealed. Dustless blasting worked. That homeowner is happy. Now, sometimes surfaces need pressure washing instead of blasting. In fact, there was an exterior stone fireplace cleansed by pressure washing. And when it dried, all the dark stain was gone. That stone had its original appearance. Wellington is versatile with blasting. Dustless blasting or whatever you need. They will evaluate and make a decision. How do you get them to your door? Very easy. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, making your world great. In fact, be safe, be well with Wellington Environmental. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Essentially, what is so important here is that the jury found that Facebook, that Meta, knowingly harmed kids' mental health, and that it also concealed what it knew about child exploitation across its platforms, and that $375 million in civil penalties is much less than what the Attorney General of New Mexico, who brought this case 3 years ago, was seeking. But what's important here is what it sets as a bellwether, a precedent for the thousands of other cases that are going in process or going to trial this year across the country when it comes to harming children and harming consumers on social media. You know, they basically found that this was a breeding ground for kids and targeting kids by sexual predators.
That is a report on a ruling out of New Mexico earlier this week. Yesterday, a New Mexico jury ordering Meta, the parent company of Facebook, to pay $375 million after finding the company violated state law by misleading users about how safe its platforms were and therefore allegedly enabling child sexual exploitation. Jurors found the Facebook and Instagram parent company violated New Mexico consumer protection laws, brought in a lawsuit by the Attorney General of New Mexico, saying you're opening up our kids to predators. And the Attorney General for New Mexico said the jury verdict is an historic victory for every child and family who has paid the price for Meta's choice to put profits over kids' safety. He added, Meta executives knew, they knew their products harmed children. They disregarded warnings from their own employees, and they lied to the public about what they knew. So now the jury has joined families, educators, and child safety experts in saying, enough is enough. Now that $375 million penalty against Meta was way lower than what New Mexico originally wanted. They wanted $2.1 billion. The jury did award the maximum allowed under state law, just $5,000 per violation. But it still marks a legal win for New Mexico and is believed the first time a state has prevailed at a trial against a major tech company regarding how children are harmed through its platforms. All of this happening yesterday out in New Mexico. And then earlier today, a California jury ruled that social media giants Meta and YouTube were liable in a landmark social media addiction, determining that the companies were negligent in their design and operation. This jury in California determined $3 million in damages. Meta is expected to pay 70% of it, YouTube 30%. Again, the experts are saying this is a major blow to all social media platforms. They're all going to be facing and are facing numerous lawsuits across the country over their products and the impact on children. They think this outcome will affect similar cases. So you got the New Mexico case yesterday, primarily focusing on how you are definitely harming our children by what you are or are not doing. Now you've got the California jury ruling today that you're creating a social addiction, which is harmful to our kids. This caps off in California a two-month investigation against Meta and marks again another high-profile trial surrounding your kids' online safety. TikTok and Snap, the parent company of Snapchat, also defendants, but they settled before the trial started in January. But again, this case in the L.A. Superior Court is part of a consolidation of thousands of lawsuits brought by individuals, school districts, and states. And there's still another case expected to be in federal court. So you got New Mexico, you got California jury, now you got federal cases, and more cases are lined up. They're like a train coming at you, boxcar after boxcar full of complaints and charges against Meta as to what it's been doing to addict children to begin with. Secondly, not protect them from predators. And part of that is, how are they verifying that these kids are of age to be on the platform? Now, there are a lot of ways around that. Kids are going to find their way. You know that. Kids use fake ID now to buy alcohol. You don't think they'll find some way to get around any platform positions the Facebook, Meta, and so forth put in? But it's the very fact that they were not even trying to do it previously. Now, of course, if they find some way to do it, and they verify the user is of age, but then they don't know that they've got a little brother, a little sister that they're bringing in to watch, or an adult bringing in a child to watch something they shouldn't be seeing. There's no way to police this stuff. It's in the air. It's everywhere. It is, again, back to that analogy of 100 feathers. You go outside, you dump them in the center of the street, you come back tomorrow, you might find all but one. But that one is the one that's causing damage. And buried inside all of these are also maybe a case of how much fraud has been going on using Facebook and other social media. Iowa Senator Grassley has been closely watching fraud in general, especially regarding our federal government fraud.
I want to tell you about the heavy emphasis of the Trump administration and the Department of Justice to take very seriously fraud. And when you think about fraud, think Minnesota Medicaid fraud. And I think we're getting evidence of it in several other states. That commitment is best shown by the nomination of a Colin McDonald to the new division in the Department of Justice to fight fraud. And I'm telling you that he is a very strongly committed to this, and he has a background of prosecution to prove it.
I think it's going to be a great appointment. That's Senator Chuck Grassley. Now, I mentioned earlier an issue that Joe Scarborough and his wife Mika Brzezinski have. Joe said the other day, Mika doesn't know where her birth certificate is. So come election day, she might not be allowed to vote. You don't have to show your birth certificate to vote. You have to show it to get a legitimate ID. Now, of course, in blue cities and blue states, you can get a driver's license by lying. They don't want to see anything anyway. They're going to let you have a job. But to vote, there's another fraud issue. What do we do to shut that down? Well, we want to see you are who you are. Now, you could have a driver's license with your photo ID. That would pass for right now. You, of course, had to have a birth certificate shown to get that to begin with. Do you not think that Mika Brzezinski has a driver's license? Of course she does. Now, I know she's chauffeured around, but you know she has one. And if nothing else, she has a passport so she and Joe can jet all around the world on their millions. If you have a passport, you've already had to prove with your birth certificate you are who you are and you're an American citizen. So she's not going to be denied the vote. But even if she thinks she is, even if she thinks, oh, they're not going to let me vote because I don't know where my birth certificate is, Mika, that's a midterm election. What are we, March? You got several months to get it. Let me tell you how you do that, dear, since you apparently are so clueless, you and Joe. You go to your state or county health department vital records office. Got to be the state or county where you're born, of course. And you do it online or by phone. You can mail in person, search your state health department for forms. You're going to need a valid government-issued photo ID to get a birth certificate, so you're going to have to at least have that. Oh, and yes, there will be some fees, anywhere from $15 to $30. If you were born abroad to American parents and you don't have a birth certificate, you need to contact the U.S. State Department. But anyone can get their birth certificate. You might have to put in some extra effort, depending on what's in your history and where you came from or where you didn't. But Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, they're not smart enough to know this? Really? All they're doing is toying with the idiots. Mika might not be able to vote. My God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, you know what? If she doesn't vote, fine by me. I'm absolutely happy. I shouldn't be telling her how to get a birth certificate. So I'm really trying to help others who might think that they may have trouble. But you've got plenty of time to get it, believe me. I could apply today for a passport. I already have one, but I could apply for a new one, say I lost it, and I would have it within 2 weeks. 4 weeks at the tops. So they could do it. But they just want to again say, this is a Trump administration trying to disenfranchise voters. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm going to disenfranchise voters, I'm going to disenfranchise the left voters. I will. But I'm not going to do that. They have a right to vote as well. And they know they can. They just are lying to you. Coming up, the value of the Strait of Hormuz.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington
takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold remediation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL. Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
A lot of people don't understand what that area is. It is the gateway to Asia. So from an investor's point of view, and that's what I'm going to give you now, what institutional money is talking about today is, are we at a place now where finally, whatever the end game is, it's not about the price of oil anymore. Yes, that's important, but you've seen the volatility of oil go from 88 to 110 based on what the outcome is going to be. And here's what the outcome could be. And this is the optimistic scenario. If there's a coalition of the willing, and I'm talking about the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Qatar, coming together as part of this settlement and cutting a deal with its, let's call it, rogue nation neighbor, Iran. You've got to remember something about history. I'm a history buff. It's the only thing I got 100 in college. This nation, only 60 years ago, Iran, was a nation of poets, mathematicians, artists. That's why they were able to basically enrich uranium in the first place. These are smart people. They don't want to be in the place they're in. They've had bad luck with leadership. What the market smells here is a new world order.
That is Kevin O'Leary of O'Leary Investments. You also know him as the guy on Shark Tank. A new world order, and they're smelling in the sense that Iran could go back to the nation it was previously. A nation of poets and writers and scientists not trying to develop nuclear bombs. Of course, it depends on what leadership comes in. He also said if we have a coalition of the neighboring states to come together to help open the Hormuz Strait, that would be beneficial. And he mentioned the oil prices. I'll come back to that in a moment. There is a new survey out. According to a new AP survey, in addition to the Center for Public Affairs, says that while President Trump's approval rating is holding steady, the conflict could be swiftly turning into a major political liability. Love the way they write this. And it's also pointing out most Americans believe U.S. military action against Iran has gone too far. Why? The cost of gasoline. I know it's up. I know I went to fill up my car the other day and I said, well, take a look. I never bothered looking at the price on the pump. I'm blessed enough to be able to fill it up regardless. I feel for folks who have to make a decision. And, of course, there is a pinch point, the leverage point, for many who want to point out that Trump is all wrong. And there are people that definitely have to make a decision on how much gas to put in and when and how they're going to meet other obligations for themselves or their family. I understand that. And I'm not belittling that possibility at all. I feel for you. I've told you the joke before, and I might as well go back to it again. I mean, the way the prices are going up now, although they're really not compared to where we were and where they could go, I don't think they will, but certainly they had to in California because of all the state taxes. Guy goes into the clerk, says, give me $10 on pump one. He leaves. Another guy says, what's he trying to do, get to pump number two? It's not funny if you're one of the ones hurting. I understand that. But according to this AP survey, 45% are extremely or very concerned about being afford gas in the next few months. It had been 30% previously. And 4 in 10 U.S. adults continue to approve what Trump is doing as president. He's left his next steps on Iran unclear, as he should. He should not be telegraphing that. Now, dealing with the Hormuz Strait, we've already had the UK come forward and say they have like-minded allies, France, Canada, and Japan, that will help lend support to the U.S. to open up the Hormuz Strait. They were just last week saying, no way, no how, not our job. Australia, no way. Now they're saying, yeah, we will help. You know why? Because so much goes through the Strait of Hormuz. And, of course, oil is a big part of it. A fifth of the world's oil supply moves through that strait. One-fifth. And Iran doesn't really need to block it outright to have a global impact. What they still have available, mines and key shipping lanes, a few anti-ship missiles, harassment from fast boats, could again cause oil prices to go higher, slow the traffic, increase risk. But again, Kevin O'Leary, who is a very good investment-minded person, says, keep this in mind.
You got to remember, just the UAE alone is number three in AI in the world. It's the United States, China, United Arab Emirates. And right now, there's instability. They don't want this. They want this thing over with. They want their tourism back. They want their data centers stable. They want to keep developing AI. And we want to keep investing there. I smell something good coming, and so does the market. It'll happen in the next couple of weeks. And oil will take care of itself.
That's Kevin O'Leary. I think he's a very smart guy. If you listen to that, a couple of weeks or so, things will be better. Airline tickets are also up because of fuel. We know that. But the Democrats still want to put all this blame on Trump. Do you want Iran to have nuclear weapons so you can have gas a few cents cheaper? Really? This generation and the other two generations prior to it really don't recall, and we're not involved in rationing when we had true dire circumstances in the midst of World War II. Where, yeah, you could only afford so much. And even if you could buy more, you were not allowed to buy more at that point. Of course, then we have a lot of businesses that are doing everything they can to use this as an opportunity to steal. They did it during COVID. We know damn well they did, individuals and businesses. And a lot of the focus is not just the big business, but small business. What's being done about that issue?
Well, about $10 billion of COVID-era fraud in just two states. That's why we suspended 111,000 borrowers out in California, over 7,000 borrowers in Minnesota for $430 million worth of fraud. Look, taxpayers deserve to know that their tax dollars aren't being sent to Somalian fraud rings. And that's why I'm so honored to be part of Vice President Vance's fraud task force. We are not just going to discover where the fraud originates. We're going to crack down and make sure people end up in jail, and that there's a deterrent, finally, for committing fraud against federal government dollars that come from hardworking taxpayers. That's what this is about. It's an all-of-government approach, and that's why we're going state by state. And the president knows. He's talked about Illinois, New York, Maine, centers of fraud, and you've seen it in home health care, hospice, billions of dollars of fraud. Even the GAO said, $500 billion a year comes out from federal programs into the hands of fraudsters. That has to end now.
And our debt right now is $39 trillion. Half a trillion is a dent in that. But how much other fraud is out there that has helped push our debt up? And every dollar that is stolen from someone who deserves it creates an additional burden. That was the Small Business Administration Director Kelly Loeffler, part of Vice President Vance's task force to eliminate fraud, saying they're going to crack down and make sure people go to jail. That's what I want to see. I want all of them to be featured on American Greed and every one of them locked up doing the perp walk, going into federal prison with no chance of parole, period. Now, you might not want that if you've been involved in any of this fraud as well. And don't think now because you did steal during COVID that you're clean and clear. You might get away with it. But eventually, they'll get around to tracking it. And then you're going to have IRS charges. And you're going to have additional wiretap charges. And everything else they can throw at you. You might as well just throw yourself on the mercy of the court right now. Speaking of the court, the U.S. Supreme Court is considering the legality of a border policy that played a major role in our immigration officials' efforts to stave off all of our migrant surges at the U.S.-Mexico border. Remember Joe Biden when campaigning? He was on the stand, or rather on the podium stage with numerous other Democrat candidates, remember that? And someone asked, do you think it should be illegal to come across the border without being permitted? Should that be a crime? And he looked around to see how many of the other Democrat candidates were raising their hands that it should not be, saying it should be fair and legal and not a crime. And eventually, Joe Biden's hand went up, eventually. And once he became president, he turned that into a policy. Open the borders. There's part of why your costs have gone up, my friend. You do know that, don't you? And why wages might still be stagnant or down in some cases. If you were a business and you're running a good business, you want to employ good character people and you want to pay them well for their work, and you're going to pay $25 an hour for not a very skilled job, but you want good people. But someone else comes in and says, I'll do the same job for $20 an hour. Well, if the person can do the job, really, do you want to continue paying everyone $25? And of course, don't forget all these state mandates that have been put in place in blue cities and states. They want to increase more. And they've got to take it. They've got to have it to keep their socialist form of governments operating, their welfare programs. That's why New York Governor Hochul was basically saying, we need all the rich who left New York to come back to help us with our social services programs, our giveaways. And if folks are suffering because they're not getting what they need, I want to see them helped. But let's start with stopping the fraud and see how much money is there that could be used to help those same people. So back to the Supreme Court hearing oral arguments this week. It's a case of Noem, Christy Noem, of course, versus Alto Otro Ledo. Deals with a challenge to border officials' now inactive metering policy as described by the Trump administration. They originally put this into effect in June of Trump's first administration. Well, it just disappeared off my screen here. Let me get it back in here for you. Yeah, it was originally with President Trump in 2016, got formalized in 2018. Involves port officials standing on the border temporarily preventing illegals without valid travel documents from coming into our country. Generally telling them you need to go to the port of entry later when there's process available to help process you. So the Trump administration appealed to SCOTUS after the Ninth Court said that that policy violates provisions of the Immigration and Nationality Act that allows for an individual who arrives in the U.S. to apply for asylum and undergo inspection by an immigration official. See, they were well-trained. Cry, asylum, asylum, asylum. And some really needed asylum. And we've had those come from war-torn countries, even before Joe Biden and all of this mess. And we do need probably some major immigration reform. But that does not mean everybody gets a free pass until we work it out. The Assistant U.S. Solicitor General stated, this theory is wrong for the simple reason that it defines the statutory text. You cannot arrive in the U.S. while still in Mexico. That should be the end of the case. Justice Sotomayor took issue with that. And with Associate Justice Clarence Thomas, he had argued that metering does not implicate America's treaty obligation. Justice Sotomayor, and along with Ketanji Jackson, are worried about the practical implications, saying that Congress is basically trying to require people to break the law in order to obtain it. No, they're not. In fact, the point is, you cannot enter the country illegally. Period. Now, that's a thumbnail sketch of a very complicated legal argument. But I love the fact that you cannot be in the U.S. when you're standing in Mexico. You're not. You're not, and you're not allowed to be. Justice Barrett asked, well, if there's a queue and they're far back in the line, what if they arrive at a port or of entry? How close do you have to be to the border? My God. We're back to Fauci and his six paces apart. Is that right? As always, thank you for listening. We'll be back here again tomorrow. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.